Well, this being Super Sunday, we've had a super service, and we're going to continue that with Super Amanda, who's going to come up and give us a lesson, which is kind of a difficult one, but she says the Lord has given her the words, so we'll just leave her with the Lord here.
Thanks for that, Mike. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Am I on, James? Oh, yes, I am. Hello. Hello, Amanda. Okay. Well, good morning. Oh, good. Yes.
Is there children?
Interruptions. It's the first Sunday. No, these kids get to stay here.
Is there a children's service this morning?
Mike.
No.
First Sunday. Mike. What? Mike. First Sunday.
Oh, that's right. This
Mike.
Is first Sunday, isn't it? I'm sorry.
Mike. First Sunday. Got it, Mike. Got it. Children's Day, Adults Day, Amanda will stay.
Well, I forgot it last time.
Oh. It's all good. You're doing an awesome job. So here I am again. It's been a while. Not long enough some days, it seems. Pastor Skip, I'm going to tell on him because I can. On this Monday night, this last Monday, Pastor Skip over text messaging Skip at 11 p.m., he asked if I was awake, and I said, of course, I'm awake. And I thought there was something going on, and then he asked if I would cover this Sunday for him because he wants to be with his family doing some fun things in Washington. And I asked him if he was kidding. And I did say, Doug, how about Andy Stanley? We could simulcast this one. And he said, I like you better. And I think he doesn't know Andy Stanley. So I said, okay. I said, sure thing. I said, I might throw up. And he said, that could be spiritual. And so, okay, here we go. Pastor said it. Before we launch into this, I just want to give a reminder specifically about our Mexico mission team spaghetti dinner thing that's going to happen on this Saturday. So if you're available and you want to come, then sign up so we can be sure to have enough food for you. And I just, on behalf of our entire team, thank you for the support and thank you for the love. And we don't take it for granted. We appreciate it so much. Okay. But now we can get on to this. So I was charged this week, right, since Monday, to cover this portion of scripture that came from the book of Leviticus. And I know that's got to be somebody's favorite book in the Bible. But back when I did Revelation, the thing that crossed my mind was the one that I probably wouldn't want to do more than anything from Revelation. That's Leviticus. And yet, here we are. God bless America. He knows better than we do. I guess we're going to say that. So I said, okay. I said, yes. And then, Monday night after 11 p.m., I read on my Bible app the chapters that we were going to cover. And I was like, this is kind of easy to read. And I realized I was reading the Message paraphrase version. And I recommend, if you're going to go through Leviticus, maybe try the Message. It's kind of awesome. And even after reading it, I was like, I have no idea what I would possibly share based on my last 10 days, last 2 weeks. As you guys know, most of you know, my niece, Charlotte Rue Cantu, was born on the 22nd, Sunday the 22nd. She came with some adventure. And I get to report to you all today that as of Thursday, early afternoon, baby Charlotte got to go home. And so she's home, she's with mom and dad, they are blissful, as are the aunties and the grandmas and the grandpas and every relative that she has, and she has no idea, but we're obsessed. So baby was able to come home, and I wanted to just publicly here amongst you say thank you for your prayers, thank you for loving them and praying for them and caring so much about this sweet little baby. And even if you didn't have a connection to Olivia or Junior personally, we felt the love and they felt the prayers and it got them through. Because the thing about being in a NICU is we've never experienced that before. I know several of you guys, you women especially, have had to endure that. But Olivia never has. This is her first baby. We as a family haven't experienced that as well. And it was really scary, you know, to see this brand new little baby have to be taken and transferred to different hospital and to have all the wires and tubes and all this stuff on her little body. It was overwhelming. And we praise God for the NICU doctors, for the NICU nurses. They were amazing, and we're so thankful that this was the outcome, because this isn't always the outcome. And we give God glory for that. So this week, I'm going to look at some of my notes, okay? So give me a little grace, because I'm in front of you, and that's a big enough deal. so we had this big week, the baby going into the NICU room. Everything was beeping, and everything, you know, it's solemn. You have to be quiet. You can't talk too much. You can't move around too much, and things are beeping and flashing, and, you know, things start going off, and a nurse comes in, and it is stressful. And that first night, Olivia, it was hours before she got to be in close proximity to the baby. And so this was like our first encounter in the NICU. And Olivia had gotten transferred a couple hours after baby did and was able to get down to the NICU. And Samantha and I are with her. And Junior was already there with the baby. And we go in to the NICU room and we see all of that crazy stuff. And then on a board, there were like statistics. You want to show that, Maddie? I have a picture of it. Okay, the first thing, I blurred out some of it so you can focus here. It had her name and her doctor and her parents and everything. And then it was a goal board. And so the goal for baby and this season was breathe easy. Breathe easy. And so with that, everybody just take a deep breath. Can we do that? Just a collective. Just breathe easy. Praise God that we can do that. Our little baby, she had a really hard time breathing. Her lungs were compromised. She needed support to breathe. She had tubes that were helping her breathe. Thank the Lord, her little brain was saying, I need air. And so that was working all great. But it was a scary thing to behold. And breathe easy kind of became the prayer. And when we would tell the few people that we were given permission to tell, that was the prayer. Pray for her lungs. Pray that he would strengthen her lungs and heal her little lungs. And he did. And we said, Lord, you created her tiny little body. You have a plan for her life. Restore her. And praise Jesus. That's exactly what he did. And, you know, I was thinking about his breath. And his breath in our lives and his breath in her lungs. And we know that he's the one who knit her together. He's the one who created her. He's the one who loves her more than we could ever love her. And we love her a lot. And his breath in her lungs is what made the difference. Just like it makes the difference in our lives. So I was thinking it's February. And February is a funny season because it's a short month. But it's also this Valentine's month. So every store you go to, you see love this and love that and hearts this and hearts that. And a lot of it's like super superficial. And if you really love someone, you know it means a little bit more. But it's one of those holidays that can be bittersweet for some people. And this season, I want us, just like we were able to do with our little baby, I want us to think of this love. We got to see his love in action. We got to see his love in action on behalf of baby Charlotte. And we got to be reminded of how precious and intentional that life is. And that is the love of God. The love of God on display. And so that is what I want us to think about this February. When you see all the gaudy decorations and all of the cheesy little stuffed animals, think of the love of God. And then I looked up some verses about the breath of God. You know, because it is what makes the difference. And it is what gave us life, and it's what sustains us. And Genesis 2:7 says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And I would say that was because of love, right? Job 33:4 says that the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Because of love, I would say too. And Acts 17:25 says that, I would say because of love, he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. He is love. It was because of love. So I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your breath. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for healing Charlotte. And have your way in her life. Use her life for your glory in Jesus' name. Okay, so now I'm going to pray because we have to talk about Leviticus. We need divine intervention. God bless America again. Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for our church family, for this congregation. I thank you for your breath again, God. I thank you for the love that you pour out, Lord. I thank you that this outcome for our sweet baby Charlotte was so positive, Lord. And we give you all praise and all glory for her life. I pray, God, that right now that you use these words that you so encouraged me with to bless the people that you have brought here today, Lord. We are here on appointment, and we are here for your glory, God, and I pray that you speak to us. I pray that you touch our hearts, Lord God. If it's a familiar subject, Lord God, I pray it fresh falls upon us. And I just pray that you use me for your glory in this moment, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had a really busy Tuesday. So after Pastor Skip sent his lovely text message, I had a busy Tuesday. I was watching some little boys. Someone waiting for me to pull my pants up. There you go, Anita. Struggle is real. And I prayed for something that God would give me something that I could relate to. Because if I can't relate to it and it doesn't touch me, then I have no business sharing it with you. And I think oftentimes in our culture of this instant everything that, and I've heard other pastors and other people and our pastors and people talk about this, how we get a message or a point in, and then we share it really quickly before we ever let it have any impact in our lives. And I don't want to be that girl. I want to be one who receives what God has. And when I ask him and he gives it, I want to receive it. And then, yes, because he is who he is, I will share it. And so I feel like that's what happened with this week. I had a busy Tuesday. I didn't think about the Sunday message. I said that prayer and then we moved on. So then all I had on my mind was baby Charlotte, right? We were so excited. I hadn't held her yet. We didn't get to hold her really until she came home on Thursday, and she was 10 days old. I'm used to like instant gratification, right? This was not that, but thank the Lord we did get to finally do hold her. She's so precious. But I was thinking baby Charlotte and Leviticus, not a good match. I don't like this match. I would much rather like sing a psalm of praise or something. So I needed the holy intervention, and I asked God for help, which is always a good idea. When you need some help, you ask God for help. So Wednesday morning, and what I was hoping really was that I was going to like see a quote and it was going to be like this amazing, profound thing that I could come and share. And then I would just have to say it and go sit down. And then our day is done. But that's not what happened. What happened is I was running late, but I was like, oh, I should watch the church channel for a little while because you never know what's going to pop up there. And it happened to be Beth Moore. I love her. And she's one of my favorite Bible teachers. We know that, ladies who do Bible study with us. We just keep going back to her. And she was telling a story. I prayed for something to relate to, right? And Beth Moore is on this TV for like the 15 minutes I had her on. And she just, I cut in like halfway through the program. And she's telling a story about a brand new baby girl in their family. And I was like, come on. I gleaned my ear that way. You know what I mean? Like I was paying attention at this point. And what she said was that they were just so delighted. And she was talking about the build up to having this new baby girl in their lives. And I could relate personally to all the feelings. We were so excited and so happy. And those of you who have grandkids or children, and you know what that feels like. I don't have my own children, but three of my siblings have given me a child, if you will. And I love them. I love them. And so, with permission, I get to share some of that with you. And I have a picture here, Maddie, that I want to share of our first baby girl blessing that came from my sister. Look at her. That's Skylar Rae Pierce. She was born September 13th, so just 5 months ago. Her five-month birthday is just in like 8 days. And we adore her. She's precious. Isn't she cute? Look at her eyes. Come on, guys. I feel like one of those parents who like pulls out their wallet pictures and is like, look, it's so cute. Okay, yeah, she's precious. And then we get to share a picture of our most recent blessing, little Charlotte. She was born the 22nd. Oh dear, Charlotte is here. Is that just the cutest baby? Look at her little eyes. I can't even stand it. I'm like, look at her hair. Look at her nose. Look at, she's got eyebrows. Look at everything. It's so cute. Okay, and then I get to share this next picture with you. Mom and dad getting to love on their little girl. And she's a smiley little baby. We've got lots of pictures of her, like, full-on smiling. She's super cute. 2 weeks old. The joy of the Lord is her strength, I would say. So we love her. Thank you, Maddie. She's the sweetest blessing ever. Skylar's the sweetest blessing ever. So we are, our cup runneth over with these baby girls. It's so exciting. When they become drama, when they're teenagers, they'll have their Auntie Mandy, Lord willing, right? Come to Radiate, get them in line. That's what I think. We'll see. So the thing that struck me when I was watching Beth Moore and she was giving this little testimonial of her niece, and I don't even remember what the subject matter her teaching was for the weekend, but it what impacted me was in her like oodling over this baby. She said something. She said, you know, I look at this baby and I think I would give my life for this baby in an instant. And that's how she felt about this baby. She had this overwhelming love. And all you who are parents, you can say, absolutely, that feeling is what happens. And Olivia even testified, you will give your life for your child. At least you feel the feelings that you love so much that that's what you would do. And, excuse me, the baby didn't know when she was looking up at her grandma, right, that was even a relative. You know, we think, oh, she's looking at me. She does not see you. She cannot see you. But she's looking in that direction and doesn't know it's her grandma, doesn't know it's her auntie, you know, these babies. And we just have all this love that's oozing out. And they don't even understand what's going on. But that does not, this doesn't make a difference. The love is there. The love is being poured out. And then one thing that Beth said before I had to turn the TV off was that, don't you know that that's how God sees you? Don't you know that's how God sees you? With that kind of love? I'm like, well, I know he loves me, but I don't think he looks at me like that. I don't think he feels those feelings for me. And that's the lie of the enemy. And so that's what we're here to talk about today, is just how much God loves us. And he loves you just that much. If you've ever loved anyone, multiply that beyond what you can even imagine. That is how much God loves you, just as you are. Babies can't understand the depths of their parents' love any more than we can understand God's love for us. But that doesn't change anything. God went to great lengths to be with us. He sacrificed the most precious thing in his own son so that we could come near him and stay with him. So what I decided to do was I decided to put on the lens of love and look at Leviticus again. It's easy to do that in some chapters in the Bible, but specifically for Leviticus, let's put on the lens of love and see what we can see then. Things became clearer and clearer, and this entire elaborately detailed system that was set up, this process of offerings and rules and sacrifices and sin and blood and atonement, the whole thing, it's very detailed. And you think, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to be the one that has to do that. You know, we don't have to bring the bull and sacrifice it and let it take our sin for us and send the poor goat off into the wilderness covered in blood. We don't have to do that because the Lamb of God was slain. This is a big deal. We can't take it for granted. We have to just receive it. He loves us. First, it happened in the tent. This holy God wanted to meet with his people, so he set up this thing and he made a way for these sinful people to be able to be in his presence. And it was finished on the cross. No longer any of that. We don't have to do any more of that stuff. Now we just have to receive the gift that all of that stuff was pointing to. our holy God, he knew that we couldn't even survive being that near to him in our sin. And we feel such shame and guilt now when we sin. And conviction that leads us to repentance is a good thing. It's from the Holy Spirit. But this process was a lot. And God wanted us to be forgiven. And so he, before he even created us, he had this plan of redemption. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7 says that Moses said to Aaron, "Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and the burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people. Sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." And so we might be thinking this atonement thing is obviously a big deal. These priests had to make atonement. And I got a new Bible recently at the beginning of the year, and it is called the Jesus Bible, which was fitting since Pastor Skip is wanting us to go through the Old Testament and kind of look for Jesus. And because they said it so much more eloquently than I ever could, I'm going to share with you just a few of the notes that were in that Bible. It says that in Scripture, atonement refers to payment for sin. So if you're wondering, if you didn't know, atonement is payment for sin. Offerings were made to gain God's favor so that he would remove a worshiper's guilt. The sacrifice was presented as a substitute for the offender. That's pretty clear. An animal died in the offender's place, and the wrath of God was turned aside. The imagery was clear. Because of sin, someone had to die. It would either be the sinner or a substitute. Like the animals offered to atone for sins of the Israelites, Jesus' life was offered as a substitute for our sin. His death satisfied God's wrath and covered our sin. Jesus, as the great substitute, paid the price of death on behalf of his people. The one who paid our penalty is worthy of glory and honor both now and forevermore. Amen. All who want their sin forgiven must be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Atonement is in the blood. Good works do not cancel the debt of sin. Great knowledge does not move people from death to life. The only hope for salvation is faith in the shed blood of Jesus. So God loves us, right? He didn't just lovingly look upon his children and say, "Man, I love you. I'd give my life for you." He did it. He did it. He did it for all of us. And as sinful as we were, he shed his precious blood for us. Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to get clean. In the middle of our mess, in the middle of the pit of our sin, as dark as we could be, Christ looked on us in love and he died for us. Galatians 2:20 says that "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus died on a cross because he loves us. He loves us. God had this whole system set up in Leviticus and this whole system set up from the tabernacles and the temples so we could worship him and be near him, because that's what we were created to do. And it was because of love. Love looks like Jesus on the cross. Some people can't stand to look at an image of Jesus on a cross because either their guilt overwhelms them, or it's just too much to see such a graphic depiction of something, and it's too much for our minds and our hearts to handle. But that is what love looks like. If you want to know what it looks like your sins on the cross and Jesus dying for them. I think that one barrier that we have to people bringing their sin to the altar and coming to Jesus is this sort of doubt in his redemptive love. Maybe they would believe he would forgive people's sin, but maybe there's a little doubt in that he really loves us. And we think that we have to be clean to come to God, and that we have to get all ready. But God, who is love, he says, "Come just as you are, and I will wash you in my love." I will wash you in my love, in my life-giving blood, and I will make you clean. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, love says, I've gone there for you. You don't have to. We need to receive this love. I think this is where we have some action to take. And all it is receiving it. We need to open our hearts to our good, good Father, right? And we need to receive the love that He has for us. It doesn't matter what you have been going through, what struggles you have, receive His love. Don't get distracted by circumstances, because the enemy wants to remind you of your sin. He wants to remind you of all the busy things you have to do. He wants you totally distracted and in a pit for all of eternity, and God wants to set you free. And we focus on our sin and our failures, and we take steps away from God, or maybe we're just so blessed, we focus on our blessings, and we don't realize that no matter if you're in a blessing season or if you're in a trial season, that God loves you just the same. Whether you're going through the hardest time in your life or you seem to be on the highest mountaintop of your life, God loves you the same. He loves that person the same as that person in every season. We agree with this, right? We need to receive His forgiveness, because His forgiveness is what was paid for on the cross. We need to receive it as love, because God loves us. We need to let His love cover us today. That is the prayer, that His love will cover us today. That we can also choose to see the people, especially the difficult people that we have to encounter, people that frustrate us and get on our nerves. And some people are like, Amanda, and okay, I get it. I'm that girl. Choose to see each other as people loved by God. Because if you can even grasp that what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, who are you to withhold that from somebody else? See people as loved by God. I would say, think of baby Charlotte and breathe easy. Breathe easy. You know, when I was thinking about this breathe easy and this message that I might share, I was getting frustrated about stuff. And I thought, wait a minute, breathe easy. And I was, you know, no matter what it was, like when you're like, what am I going to wear to stand up in front of the entire congregation and only have this much options? And because the struggle is real and this is the kind of thing that I dwell on. Amanda, breathe easy. You're going to find something that you'll wear and it'll be fine. Right? Breathe easy. Different things stress different people out in different ways. And we need to breathe easy, because just as we are, God loves us. And yes, He has a plan, and He will move us from glory to glory. And He has things in store for us that we couldn't even imagine. But we can't get all worked up and stressed out about that stuff. We have to receive His love in our lives. Receive His love in every area of your life that you're struggling, in every sin that you're hiding, in every frustration that you have with someone, and any bitterness that's been allowed to come in and take root in your life. Receive His love in that area. Then you will know what the appropriate action is. You'll know if you need to go ask for forgiveness. You'll know where to go and what to do when you let God's love overwhelm your life. It's what we were created for. Every single day is a gift, and every breathe easy breath is a gift. Our lives are a gift. And when we spend time caught up in bitterness and anger and frustration about things that are so flippin' temporary, we're wasting our precious gift. And I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. But when you recognize it, repent of it. Just confess it. God, you love me. This is not what you want for me. And He will come in and He will change your heart. If you don't know this kind of love, I would pray that you allow Him to come in and overwhelm you with it. That you just ask Him to show you how much He loves you. You'll probably look at the cross and light bulbs will go on, and you'll realize that He created you and He loves you and He has a plan for your life. And I praise Him for that. I praise Him that He comes and He loves the people that are not walking with the Lord, that we love. He loves them more. Let's look at them as loved by God and trust that He will make a way where there seems to be no way, because He is our good God. In closing, I would like to share a song with you guys. As I said last time I shared with you, worship releases faith in the soul, right? Worship releases faith in the soul. I love that quote, and I it matters to me, and I love worship music. And so I had this breathe easy plan, you know, and this Leviticus, whatever I'm going to share from Leviticus. And I found this song on Wednesday from this group that I really love. And it's kind of a song that has repetitive lyrics. And so I would ask us, this might be a little weird, to just close your eyes and receive it. And if the Lord leads you, then sing out the words as they're sung over us. And sing them back to God, either in your heart or go ahead and sing them out loud. They're easy to repeat. And we just don't want distraction because I could show you the video, but I think that would be too distracting. So we're just going to play the song and let God minister to us and say back to Him in your heart what He's saying over you. All right? Okay, guys, can you play that for us? All right, so that's what I have for you, and I'll just close this in prayer as it is starting to snow right now. And you guys can get safely home, grab a cookie, and thank you for being here. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Our prayer is, Lord, that we acknowledge that our lives are a gift and that you are a good, good giver of gifts, God. And we pray, Father, that we do open our hearts to receive whatever you have for us, Lord. And we ask that your will be done in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And just so you guys know that song is on an album that was released by, it's the same person who wrote the Good, Good Father song. So we're like, why do we love this? And that's probably why. It's anointed. Thank you. That's it.